One thing I've talked about again and again on this podcast is how depleted we are as a society of minerals. I've had experts, doctors, and practitioners on this podcast, and they all say the same thing. Our soil is so depleted of minerals that as human beings, we are lacking these vital natural resources in our life and bodies. So what I do is in the mornings, I make my warm lemon water and then I add the BLK drops to the water. It's habit stacking at its finest. I just add 10 to 15 drops of BLK drops into the water and drink it back. There's no taste to it, but I know I'm adding 77 natural occurring trace minerals, trace elements, amino acids, and electrolytes into my body. If you haven't listened to the podcast episode I did with the founders of BLK Water, make sure you check that episode out and learn all about the benefits of fulvic acid and their incredible wellness product. If you are ready to start taking BLK, then make sure you use code MEGAN20 to save 20% off of your order. I highly suggest the BLK drops. They are my favorite and what I use. It's so easy to implement into your morning routine. You can support the show, save 20% on your order, and take your health and wellness to its natural next level by using code MEGAN20, all one word, at checkout and to get your very own BLK drops today. Welcome to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I am the host of this show. This podcast is designed to inspire and empower you to start and maintain your own wellness journey so you can become the best version of yourself. Let's begin. Good morning. Welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life podcast. I am your host, Megan Farrell Gordon. If you have been tuning in week after week, thank you so much for being here. And if you are listening to the show for the first time, welcome. I'm so excited to have you here. Today's podcast episode has been an interview that has been a long time coming, and I am joined by Katie Arnold. We cover a lot of things in today's podcast episode. We kind of go all over the map. And one thing that I was really excited to find out about is Katie mentions she used to be in the music industry. So she used to be in like management in the music industry. And you definitely know one of the bands at the very least that she has managed and kind of brought up. So that was very exciting for me. But who is Katie Arnold? Katie is a registered yoga teacher, 200-hour vinyasa and restorative-based yoga and meditation instructor, breathwork and journaling coach, helping women reconnect with themselves and stress less through movement and mindset practices. After years of burning the candle at both ends, she discovered the five habits that help her reconnect with herself every single time. These five components of connection are mindful movement, meditation, self-care, journaling, and community. On this episode, we talk about how committing to 30 days of meditation changed her life, intention setting through journaling, and how to start a journaling practice. We also discuss journaling prompts and tips you can implement into your life today, supplements and wellness rituals, morning and evening routines, and so much more. This is an episode that you're going to get a lot out of it. Like I was saying, we kind of dive all over the map here, talking about yoga, breathwork, meditation, journaling, all the things. And after this, you are definitely going to want to go follow Katie online and to see what she's up to. She has a lot of things going on, and she's just such a kind, lighthearted soul. So I am so excited for you to listen to today's podcast episode. We talk about human design in this podcast episode, and if you've been listening to me for a while, you'll know how much I nerd out on the human design world. If you are new to human design, maybe you know nothing about it, or maybe you know your energy type, but not a lot more than that, then you are going to want to check out my Intro to Human Design online workshop. In this workshop, you will learn what human design is, learn about your specific energy type. So if you are a projector, a generator, a manifester, a manifesting generator and reflector, and how knowing your energy type can benefit you in life and work. You'll also learn about the strategy associated with your specific energy type. You will learn about your authority and how to make the most aligned decisions. And you will also get an intro copy of your human design chart. But you must know your exact birth time and birth location for an accurate chart reading. You can use the link in the show notes to access the replay. And if you want to dive deeper into your chart one-on-one, make sure you also use the link in the show notes to book your very own reading today, where I can go more in depth on your specific chart and give you a personalized reading. Welcome to the show, Katie. I'm so excited to have you on.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. I feel like this conversation, we've always talked about connecting. So for us to do it in this way, I'm so excited.
Yeah, no, we've been running in each other's circles for a while. And I know I've been checking out what you're always up to. You know, I know you listen to the podcast and we have a mutual friend in common too. So shout out to Kelly for, I feel like that's how we all kind of got connected.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, she's great in that capacity. I think of bringing fellow yoga teachers and people in the wellness space together. So yeah, this is going to be fun.
I would love if you could give a little bio of who you are and where in the world you are currently joining us from today.
Oh my gosh. Well, so I'm currently in a suburb of Chicago. So I'm in the States, but I kind of have lived all over the United States. So where I am right now is not always where I'm going to be. I'm a bit of a wanderlust in that capacity, but I am a yoga and meditation teacher. I teach breath work and journaling as well. And I've been doing that for, oh my goodness, like a handful of years now, like almost 5 years. I think I've been teaching yoga and practicing for even longer. And it's just something that has totally changed and transformed my life. And so getting to share it with other people and help them learn these practices is just like, that's now my life's purpose, I think, and my passion.
Now I relate so much to all of that, but I would love to back even right up to the start. Have you always been into health and wellness? Was yoga always a part of your life, or was there a catalyst in your life that led you down this path?
Oh my gosh. No. So I was the child, like I did dance as a kid, but I only did it until my friends were no longer doing it. So when they stopped, I stopped. I was very shy and kind of afraid to do that. But I had, and I can't say either that I had an interest in health and wellness for a long time until I started finding my own health answers were not getting answered in the more traditional capacities. And I started having to go down these avenues myself. But with yoga, so I used to work in the music industry. My background is in music. I went to college for music. And making it in the music industry, even not as a musician, I was on the business side, was so stressful. And I was always working multiple jobs. I was so stressed out. I was burning the candle at both ends. And finally, a friend of mine suggested that I try yoga. And she's like, just try. Maybe it'll help. Maybe you'll enjoy it. And so I tried these 20-minute yogadownload.com classes. And like this was in 2007, 2008. And it was just an audio, almost like essentially like a podcast class with a visual PDF download pose guide. And that was how I learned yoga for about the first 9 months, I would say, that I practiced. And I fell asleep in Shavasana every single time. And like, as a yoga teacher now, like we kind of joke about the fact that like, while the goal is not for you to fall asleep in Shavasana, if you are falling asleep in Shavasana, I'm not going to wake you up because it's a good sign that your body needs that rest and that you're probably not getting enough rest. So as I learned more and more about yoga, I was like, oh my gosh, my body is so exhausted. My mind is so exhausted. And so that was really the catalyst of me like practicing yoga And then I started going to a studio once I felt like I was confident enough to go to a studio, which of course, like as a teacher, we know that's not a thing. You don't need to like know a certain amount of yoga to go to a yoga class. But at the time I didn't know that. I felt like I needed more confidence to show up, and consistently practicing just like opened my eyes to a better life. Like I felt better in my body. I felt better in my mind. And it just totally caught me off guard in the most beautiful way. So that was really kind of like that turning point for me.
I love that. And I feel like I resonate so much with that. I didn't do the audio version with PDF, and I can only imagine how for me, like I feel like even sometimes when someone cues me something and I'm like, what does she mean? Like I have to look at them and see what they're doing. Like that would have been such dedication to doing it. And I was the same way. I didn't want to go into a studio until I felt like I knew a lot of the poses or at least understood what the teacher was saying. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because as a teacher myself now, if someone says that to me, I always say, you know, yogis are like the most, like they just don't care. Nobody cares what you look like. Nobody cares if you can't do a pose. Nobody cares if you're watching the teacher. You're just sitting there in child's pose because you're just overwhelmed. Like they're the most relaxed people in the entire world. Like just go to a studio and just see what it's all about. But I also do really love the online space too for that reason. And, you know, not everybody can get to a studio or can afford it. And I think it's an incredible way for people to be able to practice yoga in the comfort of their home or, you know, just to start their own journeys.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that was probably a huge reason why I went and I launched a YouTube channel, because it was like free yoga helped me find yoga. Mm-hmm. So if I can help someone find yoga and give it to them in a really like digestible and approachable way that doesn't feel overwhelming, because I'm not making you commit to an hour at home. I'm giving you 20 minutes on your mat and like just starting there. And you can really see just even like the small little moments that you can give yourself like that are so impactful. And yeah, that's just where I think so many people need to just begin.
I would love to know what that first, you said you were looking at a PDF, you were listening to an audio. Was it more of like a gentle vinyasa flow or gentle yoga practice, if you will? Was it more restorative? Like what was that first practice like for you?
I believe it was probably more of like a hatha style class. It was definitely a slower flow. I don't think we really, I don't remember building up a ton of heat or anything like that. It was definitely not super restorative, because as most people or anyone who's taken a restorative class, I had that experience later down the line where I didn't know what I was getting. It always catches you off guard then. But it wasn't a super fast flow either. It was really slow, really approachable. I would do it before bed, and just, it really helped me kind of calm the nervous system. And then, yeah, like I said, I would end up in Shavasana and out like a light. I'd wake up on the floor and half an hour later and crawl myself to bed.
That would have been a good sleep though afterwards. I'm curious, what was that next step like for you? Like you're doing your yoga. Do you notice that you're starting to eat better? Are you starting to sleep better? Like what was that next point like in your journey? Like where did you start to gravitate towards next?
I think there was a lot of awareness. It was more awareness around like how my body was feeling. I did start paying attention more to what I ate. I started seeing like a nutritionist to figure out some other like stomach issues that I was having at the time. I started running during this time as well, or shortly thereafter, which like now I've run a marathon. So like it's all very kind of like intertwined in a lot of ways. But I think the big thing was just realizing that my body felt better. And then kind of with it, my mind did too. And I think once you get into kind of that consistent practice, you start craving it. And then as like kind of life continued, and you know, we all go through seasons where we ebb and flow, where we're like really consistent. Like we are on our practice, we're on our mat, like we're in it. And then next thing you know, You're like, man, when was the last time I was on my yoga mat? When was the last time that I did that? Like, it's been too long and I'm feeling really stressed out. And then I would like bring myself back to my mat and it was like, oh yeah, I feel so good when I do it. So I had several years there where it was like not as consistent. It was in and out, and then kind of life threw me another curveball. And the only thing I could do was like show up on my yoga mat to get through it.
No, I think it's such an incredible practice. And I think I never have a problem with people getting into yoga for the physical side of things, because that's how I got into it as well. But it's just like, it's such a plot twist when you get so much more out of it. Like, yes, I love the physical part of a yoga practice, but it's more like the feeling of being grounded and centered that it personally gives myself. And that's I think what I crave. And that's why I go back to the mat again and again. I'm curious, where did meditation come for you in your journey? Was it something that you kind of picked up right away as you're starting your yoga journey, or did it come later on? And what was that like? Were you listening to a podcast? Was it during your teacher training? Like, where was that point of introduction to meditation in your journey?
So meditation probably came in like 6 or 7 years ago. It was a long time between when I had started practicing yoga and the introduction of meditation, because, and I, it's not to say that I hadn't tried it prior, but like so many people often say is like, they tried meditation and they can't do it because they can't stop the thoughts in their head. So, you know, at the time I was like, I can't stop the thoughts in my head. There's too many coming. But I was in a season of such intense anxiety at the time. And I had brought myself to go see a therapist and I was trying to work through it with her. And she knew how much I loved meditation, or knew how much I loved yoga. And she's like, have you tried meditation? And I kind of told her like, maybe here and there, but like not really, like not outside of like Shavasana really, because I can't set my mind. And she encouraged me to try it. And so I like committed to 30 days of meditation, because I was like, if she's saying this might help me, I'm going to give it a try and I'm going to go all in. And I may have done some guided meditations. She had suggested an app for me to try. It was called Stop, Think, Breathe, or something like that. And they had a meditation timer. So you could set it for 5, 8, 10 minutes longer. Or you could go through one of their guided meditations. And so I kind of did a combination of both. She gave me a mantra to work with a little bit as well. So I kind of dabbled with transcendental meditation through some of that time too. And that just kind of felt like the missing puzzle piece at the time. And that started the love affair with meditation. And, you know, it fits so perfectly with yoga, but for so long, they felt like totally separate things for me.
Yeah, I relate to that so much. I mean, I feel like everything you're saying, I'm like, man, I relate to this so much. I feel like I'm like, it's me talking to myself, because it was the same for me. Like I loved the physical part of yoga, and I was like, meditation, like, no, I don't want to do it. Like, and I think there's a lot of like, you have this assumption in your head, or at least I did, was like, you have to be in a dark room chanting Om. It's got to be for, you know, like an hour, or it doesn't count. And I was like, I don't have time for that. And it was like, I was forced to do it in my yoga teacher training, and it was still like probably one of the most life-changing things besides my yoga that I went through. It was just, I remember just sitting there bawling my eyes out, like, oh my God, this is what it feels like to not be so mean to myself, or to hate myself, or to have anxiety. Like 10 minutes, and it was like, oh my God, this is incredible.
Yeah.
Where did you go to next on your journey? Like, I know you are into journaling, and before we hit record, you were talking about Hashimoto's syndrome. And I don't know if that was in like a like combination with what you're going through, but like, why did you go down this route? What led you to journaling? What other health and wellness practices do you do in your life that help contribute to like a holistic living, or to combating Hashimoto's, or at least learning to live with it, if you're willing to talk about that?
Yeah. So journaling came in probably in the last like 4 or 5 years. I loved like writing in my diary as a child. And then as I kind of like became an adult, I did less and less journaling. And of course, like I look back now and I wish I had done more of it just to document cool experiences that I've had in my life. But I had started by dabbling just with like gratitude journaling through that season of anxiety. That was really when I also like committed to gratitude journaling. And if at the end of the day, I could write down 3 to 5 things from that day I was grateful for. And some days, if the only thing I could write down was like, I still had my breath, then that still felt like a win. And so it really started from there. And it has also had its seasons of being consistent, of not being as consistent. And then I notice when I'm not doing it, I definitely like, I feel that in my mind. And it continues to transform in different ways. Some days I journal in the morning and not at night. Sometimes I journal at night, not in the morning. Sometimes I do both. Right now I'm in a season really consistently where I'm journaling out my intention every single morning. And I'm writing out my gratitude or just kind of like free writing on an aspect of my day or something that I'm feeling. And that has been a really special practice for me. And I find that it's such a benefit to my mental health. And to write on that intention, I find to just be like so powerful and kind of gives me focus for my day and the actions that I make. And it's all a part of my wellness routine.
So when you say you write out your intention, just if somebody's listening to this and they're like, I would love to do this, but like, I don't even know where to start. Are you writing like, I intend for my day to be full of ease and prosperity? Or is it more in depth? Or is it just like an I am statement? What does that intention look like if somebody's like, hey, this sounds really cool, but like, what does it mean? Where do I start?
So I always do my meditation first. And sometimes within that meditation, I hear this little like voice, like a little bubble up of, I really need to work on being present or whatever. Like I sometimes hear that little like nudge. And I mean, you're into human design. I don't know if this is related to my human design that I have that ability to kind of tune in and hear that. But then I write whatever comes out on the page. And it's not so much something that I am super aware of, except for that little voice or that little nudge that's telling me. But it is often like an I am statement, or it's a few I am statements. Like I am present is a huge one for me right now, as I'm trying to be more present in each moment of my day, more present when I'm meditating, more present when I'm on my yoga mat, more present when I'm working my day job, because it's all these things that just like, if I'm in this constant state of like being on my yoga mat, but at the same time thinking about like what I need to work on and record still for the podcast episode next week, or that I still need to edit the YouTube video, or I still need to write this, or I need to do that. Like I'm not present with my yoga practice, and it's just, I'm not getting all the benefits out of it that I can. So like present has been a huge one lately, and I'll just write out like, I am present. I am calm. I am focused. I am loved. I am loving. I like whatever it is that I'm kind of feeling that I need. And I don't think about it. Like I don't let myself really try and like get the ego in the way of it. I just, what is it that I'm hearing and that I need with, and the first thing that comes to mind, I just write it.
If someone was starting out on their quote unquote, like journaling journey, where do you think is the best way for someone to start? Is it a gratitude journal like list? Is it 3 to 5 things like you were saying? Is it simply just set a timer for 5 minutes and see what comes out? Because I feel like most things in the health and wellness field, people just get super overwhelmed and they think somebody else is journaling for an hour in their morning. I don't have that time, so I shouldn't even begin or start. Like, what are some tangible tips for somebody, in your opinion, to start a journaling journey?
Yeah. I mean, you named a few of them. I would say, like, first and foremost, gratitude journaling is such an easy place to start. I highly encourage that people do it from moments from that specific day. So if you're doing it, and like you could do this in the morning. Some people talk about gratitude journaling in the morning from things from your previous day. My memory is not that good. I will forget by the next morning. But I feel like if I do that at night, I'm also more aware during the day of the little moments that like brought me joy. So I can like, you know, be pulling out my journal before I go to bed, and I can be thinking about this conversation, and I can be like, oh man, I had such a great conversation with Megan today. I am so grateful that we finally got to like connect and do this. And like, I can feel that joy like bubble back up in my body. And I can do that from like other moments in my day. It could be like, oh, my dog walks so well. And you can tap back into that, where if you were to look back on that list, when you're having maybe a harder day and a harder day to pull up those moments of joy, I could look back on my list from today and I could be like, oh yeah, I remember that conversation, or I remember that moment. And you can kind of tap back into that. So gratitude journaling is a great place. Also, using like journal prompts is a super great place to start. I think like, because you can take that journal prompt and it could be a question that is super simple, and it's just supposed to help kind of get the wheels turning. So if you are looking at your blank page on your notebook, that can be so intimidating sometimes that you're just like, I don't know what to write. I don't know where to start. And so if someone is giving you a journal prompt, you can write on that, and then you might keep writing and writing. And next thing you know, you are writing about something totally unrelated to whatever that prompt is, but it got the wheels turning and it kind of started to break that barrier. And if I were to give like one more tip for people, and this is just like kind of habit forming in general, is to habit stack. So if you have another practice that you do consistently, stack journaling with it. So, I mean, my podcast is guided meditations and journal prompts because, I mean, they're a great pair for like many reasons, but it's also a habit stacking thing. So if you want to get into a journal practice and you already have that meditation practice, stack them together.
I want to, at the end of this, send everybody to check out your podcast and everything that you're doing. But if somebody right now is like, oh, that sounds really cool, because that's how I feel like I do really well with journaling, is somebody is like, write this out, or like, what is a limiting belief that you have, and like, write it out. Like, I do well with prompts. Are there even like three journal prompts that you have noticed again and again that have worked really well for you or your clients, or that have been like super transformative for you or your clients?
I mean, three things that you're grateful for is like an easy prompt. And for me, that has been totally life-changing. Cause like I said, even in like those really heavy and dark seasons, if the only thing I can focus on that was really good that day is the fact that I'm still breathing, I can really connect to that. I would say also limiting beliefs is a good one. It is like, what am I noticing? And also like, if you are feeling anxiety, you're feeling fear, like where are you feeling that in your body? That can be a really good one. Even what am I feeling in this moment? And then diving into that. And that could be then take you to, where am I feeling this in my body? But like, what am I feeling in this moment? What is it bringing up? What is the story that I am telling myself around X, Y, or Z thing that's going on? And just like seeing where those can take you.
Yeah, like you said a few times, it's this idea of awareness, I think, that keeps coming out and keeps coming to play, right? Like sometimes you write something and something totally different comes out. But for me, even it's, I notice if someone says something that triggers me, I'm like, there's room for improvement here. Like I really need to sit down and either journal this out or talk it out. And like, why is this thing triggering me so much? Is there a belief that I have around it? Or yeah, just like why is this triggering me as much as it is? Because there's a lot of things out there that people will say to me, and if I don't believe it to be true or it doesn't resonate with me, like it doesn't faze me in the least bit. But if somebody says something and it's like I get defensive, or like I start having all these thoughts, it's like, that's a really good place, I think, to start as far as like, what are your beliefs around this? And what is it that is upsetting you so much?
Yeah, well, and it's, I mean, it's yoga. Like at the end of the day, this like journaling is yoga because it's that idea of svadhyaya, it's self-study. Mm-hmm. And so like journaling gives us that opportunity to kind of discover things that we didn't even necessarily realize like consciously. And journaling helps kind of like bring it up to the surface.
Yeah. Yeah. What are some ways that people can use journaling to reprogram their limiting beliefs? Is there like certain prompts that you think work really well? Is it, you know, what we were just talking about, like having a moment that was triggering to you and then writing it down to see like, what was it about it that triggered you? Is there an example in your life that's coming out that you feel like supports that triggering conversation or point? I don't know if that makes any sense, but like, have you created an example in your mind where you're like, what that person is saying is triggering me because of this that's happened?
Well, it's the awareness, I think, is like the huge, that's the big part of that is, if you have something in your life that is triggering you, you're having a conversation with someone that is triggering you, to be able to kind of pause and just start writing about it, you might not be ready yet to repair that limiting belief. And you might not even know what that limiting belief is yet anyway, but you can start just by like journaling and writing it out. You can start to make yourself more aware of it. And then kind of you might start to be able to pick up on your, oh, what's the word that I'm looking for here? Like the consistency that you have in something. And that might start to help to bring it about. What is, you might be able to start seeing and connecting the dots of those limiting beliefs. And like, I can even see for myself, just like as an example, and this took me a very long time to get to this conclusion. I worked in the music industry for years. I managed bands. I booked tours. I helped bands get from kind of being something that nobody really knew about to bands that are well known in our world now. And for me at the time when I did it, I was like, if I can't make my own dreams come true of being a musician, I'm going to do it for someone else. I used to find that motivating. That's what motivated me. I can look back now and I can see that there's a huge limiting belief there. And I was not aware of the limiting belief when I said it. And it's this limiting belief that like, I'm not good enough to have that. I'm not good enough to make my own dreams come true. My day job now, I work with real estate agents. I help build their careers. I help make their dreams come true. I don't want to be a real estate agent, but there's still a consistency in this, like building up everybody else's business, building up everyone else to have these dreams met that they want. But my own subconscious likes to be like, oh, but you can't have that. You're not good enough to have that. And it's through journaling that I have started to like piece together the fact that like these dots connect. And while they're different situations, it is the same story. And so then I get to take that. And it's like, now that I know that's the story, I can start chipping away. And it might take a while to like fully release that belief, but you can start chipping away at it. But first you have to just start to become aware of it by writing it out.
I've always said, like, the little voice inside your head, sometimes they are, she is or he is outright super mean and stuff, but sometimes it's super subtle and you don't necessarily even know that it is a limiting belief. It's just, it's so like, I don't know. It's like, I call her a bitch inside of my head. Like, they're just, sometimes it's like, really, you're like, it's like a bully tactic, right? Sometimes it's not always super mean. Sometimes it's super subtle, but it really starts to create those like grooves inside of your brain where like, it might not be a boulder that comes down, but like that little pebble is going back and forth until it becomes so entrenched and ingrained in you that you don't even necessarily know that it's a limiting belief until you have that awareness and you're like, wow, like I've totally downplayed myself this entire time. Or like you were saying, like I've told myself that I'm like, I can help other people, but like that dream isn't, I can't do that. That's not for me. And it it doesn't seem like a big thing at the time until you have that awareness and you're like, wow, like I can't believe I put myself through that for so long.
Yeah, I call her my Regina George, my inner Regina George. So like my inner mean girl. Because yeah, like those voices aren't always super kind, but you know, it can be a tough realization when we finally realize that like that is a separate thought process that does not have to be our own. But yeah, like being able to journal and see those patterns is so powerful.
You had mentioned the one that was a big one too about being in the music industry and helping other people build up other bands, but not necessarily yourself. And I'm going to have to ask you after this some of the bands that you worked with, because as you're talking, I'm like, be present. But at the same time, I'm like, cool, I have so many questions about this. Is there any other, even if it was like a small realization, but anything else that you've journaled about that you were like, it totally changed the way that you thought about things or think about things, or like it totally took you on a new, better, more positive path? Like anything else that came up for you during journaling where you were like, I don't think I would have made this change in my life had it not been for that moment of clarity journey during my journaling process?
Oh my gosh, that's such a big question. I mean, I think there's probably just small ones that happen every single day that don't even necessarily register. Like, if that makes any sense, like there, because I am journaling every day, there are small realizations. I mean, I guess like what's coming to mind right now is even just like my current therapist. She's this wonderful lady who I started seeing her, and on my first session, she's going through her usual questions. Are you single, married, divorced? And I was like, single. Do you have kids? Do you want kids? Do you not want kids? I was like, I don't want children. And she just goes, yes, another strong, independent woman who knows what she wants. And through just like the time that I've seen her, there's a level where I walk in that room and I am fully seen by somebody. And I have struggled with the fact that like I don't want children of my own. And that is not something that a lot of people necessarily understand. It is not something that my family has necessarily understood. And I think they're coming around to it. And I have friends that have, it's been a journey for them to come around to it as well. But there is that level where I was like, oh, wow, it was just so nice to have this person sit in front of me. And immediately I felt like I was seen and I knew I was in the right place and I knew I had found the right therapist. But I don't know that I would have realized that necessarily if it weren't for the fact that like I had journaled on all sorts of different things prior of realizing that I just didn't always feel seen by people or understood by people because some of the things that I want for myself and my life are out of kind of society's norm.
I feel like this is a PSA for anybody out there who talks to literally anybody, couples, singles. I've become much more aware of how sensitive the kid topic can be for a lot of people. Like you said, there are a lot of people, as soon as you get married or you're in a relationship, it's like, oh, when are you having kids? And I feel like it's just something that's so ingrained into society. And I know personally a lot of people who've come out and said, like, I don't want to have kids. Hey, even people who are like, hey, I'm married, I love my partner, we don't want to have kids. And there's no what, like, oh, well, why don't you want to have kids? Like, no. There's no, people don't have to have a reason for not wanting children. And on the flip side, I've also become aware that there are a lot of people out there who are struggling to have kids. And by you asking them about it, it's like,
It makes it worse.
it does. It makes it worse. Like, people are trying or they're going through something. And I feel like it's nobody's business unless that person like wants to talk about having kids, not having kids. It's like, I just feel like people should really be very mindful going forward of the whole kid topic and like don't make comments or bring up things unless that person is willing to talk about it with you.
Yeah, great PSA.
I went on a whole rant there, but it's like I really do feel like there's a lot of people out there who've been very open about not wanting kids and like feeling the need to explain to their community or to others why they don't. And it's like that you don't have to have a reason. And if you don't want kids and 5 years down the road, you decide to have one, like you don't have to,
you're allowed,
justify changing your mind. Like it's just, we need to be more yogic and more mindful, I think, of these conversations with people, especially with topics like that.
Yeah.
I would love to know, what are some other morning and evening routines that you do? I know you said before you go through ebbs and flows, so maybe it changes and maybe what you do now isn't applicable in 6 months or a year from now, but like currently, what do you do that you find sets you up for success? And like details of everything.
Oh yeah. My favorite way to start my morning is with a little bit of yoga, meditation, and journaling. That is like the key. Even this morning, I was so tempted to just hit snooze and like rest in bed. And I was like, my body will be so happy if I just lay here for 20 more minutes. And then I was like, no, it won't, because you know how you feel when you do like a little bit of yoga, and you know that right now that practice is what is getting you through the day. So I rolled myself out of bed. I walked down the hall to my little yoga room and I did about 20 minutes of yoga, a 10-minute guided meditation, and I did my morning journaling on my intention setting. And that is like the way that I start my day. And then once I do that and I get dressed and I get ready and all that good stuff, my dog and I go for our first walk of the day. And that's about 20 minutes as well. And so it's like just starting my morning with a little bit of movement. It's super gentle. It's like nothing intense or crazy. Really sets the tone for me and honestly him as well. And then my evening routine is pretty consistent as well. Usually I put on my blue blockers after like 5 o'clock or so, like after I make dinner is usually when I'm wearing those the rest of the night. I find that is a key part in helping me be able to wind down. And then my goal is to always like try and stop working by 8 p.m. Having a day job and also like having a business on the side, it is tough sometimes to find that balance. But I really try to kind of stop working by 8 p.m. I will put on Netflix. Right now, I am watching Great British Bake Off or Great British Baking Show. And like, it's just like kind of calming TV. And I will either like kind of color an adult coloring book. I've been finding that really calming. Or I'll do a little like solitaire or Sudoku, just like a little game. It helps me unwind. And then I'll read for a little bit before I actually like turn out the lights to go to bed. And it helps me wind down for sure. And I find that if I'm like working a little bit later and I try to push that to like 9 o'clock, I don't fall asleep as easily because my brain has not had time to unwind. So my evening routine as well as my morning routine are just so important.
What are you reading right now?
Oh my gosh. I should have known that you would ask me that. I can't think of what the book is called right now.
Is it like a fiction or a nonfiction? No,
I'm like so much more of a nonfiction girl. I like a fiction book once in a while, but I can't say that that is like my go-to. I have a tendency to do nonfiction, and it's How We Show Up by Mia Birdsong.
Okay.
And I am only about like 70 or 80 pages into the book. It's all about community. Mm-hmm. And I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. So I'm excited to keep reading it. But I just finished Man's Search for Meaning last week. Oh. So that was also, it was a little intense at times, but that was a good one too.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I've used to try to read like nonfiction at night, and I'm that type of person. My brain is just like, oh, well, maybe you could do this and start doing this. Like, so I read that during the day now, and I end with fiction because it's, for me, it's just like nonsense. Like I do watch an episode of at nighttime on TV, but I like to read, but I find like the nonfiction stuff is just like, it's nonsense stuff. Like if I don't remember it, it's nothing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just so like irrelevant and just helps kind of like wind down and relax.
I've heard a lot of people say that. So you're definitely not alone in the fact that like nonfiction before bed can be a lot for some people. I'm in a phase right now where
I love it.
Just fine.
Yeah. I love your routines. Is there anything that you do even weekly or monthly that you find really helps you on your health and wellness journey? You had mentioned therapy. Is there anything else that you do that you find supports you for like your health and wellness and to being the best version of yourself?
Yeah, I love to also incorporate like sauna time. I teach yoga at a gym that has a sauna. So I love to do that. At least like I would say I probably shoot for like twice a week. Being able to sit in the sauna for like 15 minutes even is usually just enough. I also have an acupressure mat, which I love and I do not spend enough time on, but I also try to incorporate that at least like once a week if I can. I found that to be like a game changer for like headaches and super tight muscles, especially like in my shoulders, which is where I carry a lot of tension. So those two practices are definitely like super supportive. I love my supplements too. So like those are involved.
Yeah. What supplements are we taking?
Oh my gosh. I definitely take a probiotic. Okay. That is like a goal every single night. And magnesium has been a game changer for me every single night.
I need to get on the magnesium train. My problem is A, there's so much out there, and B, the ones I look at, I'm like, there's so much garbage just filled in so many different supplements that I feel like because I don't know what is a really good one that I'm just like, I'm not even going to bother to take one because I just, you read some of it and you're like, this shouldn't be in there, that shouldn't be in there, like what is happening here, which one are you taking?
So I have started taking magnesium glycinate. I've been doing that for a few years now. I have found, and part of this is Hashimoto's related with a lot of like muscle aches and stuff, or like joint discomfort. It has helped me quite a bit with that. It's also great for like someone who gets a lot of headaches. Mm-hmm. A lot of times headaches can be, from my understanding, I'm not a doctor, but from my understanding, they can be caused by a magnesium deficiency. So I have found that to be really helpful for that as well. And I had a functional medicine doctor put me on magnesium glycinate a few years ago, and I just have not gone back.
I hear too. It's like one of the minerals that's in our body that we are the most depleted in as a society. Like everyone just does not have enough magnesium in their bodies. And it's funny because I feel like there's one brand that's coming to mind right now where everybody's been taking it. And I have heard other experts say like, it's like a magnesium citrate, mm-hmm. I think it is. And that can be really hard on a lot of people's stomachs. So if people are having like loose bowel movements and stuff, like that could be directly related to the citrate portion or side of magnesium.
Yeah, magnesium glycinate is supposed to be, I believe, a little bit easier mm-hmm. on our digestive systems. I think it's supposed to be easier for us to, our bodies to process. Like I said, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nutritionist, but that is like my general understanding. And it does take a little bit of playing around, I think, though, just regardless, to find the amount that works for you. Mm-hmm. That's definitely something I have had to play around with, to make sure that I'm getting enough. I usually find if my joints and my muscles are achier, if I take a little bit more magnesium, that seems to kind of fix the problem, or at least help the problem. So it's something that, you know, people can play around with for sure.
Yeah. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want the audience to know about, whether it's a journal prompt that came to mind for you during our conversation or another practice that you just feel like has really helped you on your own journey, anything at all that you feel like, oh, I wish Megan had asked me this, or I want the audience to know this?
I would say just like the only other practice that, and I can't say I'm as consistent with this as I would like, but I absolutely love, is breath work, but specifically like alternate nostril breathing. I love, it is a great way to like lower your, or like kind of even yourself out. If I'm feeling really anxious and worked up, it's a great way to calm the nervous system. And so I love just that Nadi Shodhana alternate nostril breathing. Every time I build that practice into my yoga practice, I'm always like, why don't I do this more often? Because it always just makes me, it makes me feel so good. So, I mean, that would probably be the only other thing I can think of that is really coming to mind that has been just a huge help.
Yeah. And if anybody feels like they don't want to just sit there, I find like, I love alternate nostril breathing too. And I feel like for some people, it's this idea of giving them something to do with their hand. Like if they feel like they can't just like sit there still and do nothing, like you're moving one of your hands anyways. And it kind of, it gives you something, I guess, to like do as you're doing breath work.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of a bit of that, just like you have something to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That isn't just, I think sometimes with breath work, people can get a little caught up in, if it's an energizing breath work and, you know, the pace is a little bit quicker, sometimes I think that can make you a little bit anxious. I think sometimes if there's longer holds, like if you're breathing in for a count, holding for a count, exhaling for a count, like holding at the bottom for a count for like a square breath, even I sometimes find that to be a little bit anxiety producing depending on where I'm at that day, because it's like I'm at the bottom of the breath and I'm like, can I keep holding this? I have two more counts. Can I keep holding this? But like alternate nostril breathing, it's just, my mind is just, it's paying more attention to the fact of like inhaling through the left, exhaling out the right, inhaling through the right, exhaling out the left. And it's like, because I'm so focused on that, my brain doesn't have time to kind of go anywhere else. So like, so that's probably like all part of it, right?
Yeah. No, you've inspired me to start doing that a little bit more. It's not one that I do often, but it's like you just said, when I do it, I'm like, man, this feels really good. I should do this more often.
Yeah.
Before I let you go and send everybody over to check you out, is there, and you had already given me one, so I'm going to ask you for one more recommendation, but a book, podcast, or resource that has brought you incredible value that you want to let the audience know about?
Oh my goodness. I know that this question is coming, and yet my brain was like
I can't remember.
I'm trying to think like what I have read recently that was like a total game changer.
It is a little unfair of me because you did give a solid book recommendation and I'm putting you on the spot with another one.
It was a great book. You know what? I will say, In the Flow, this is not related to yoga, but In the Flow, what is it? Is that by Alisa Vitti?
Okay.
Which is, she talks a lot about women's hormonal health. And I have found that to be a great resource and like starting to learn around this idea of like cycle syncing.
Okay.
Totally something we have not talked about today, but that was a really good book that has kind of been just opening my eyes a little bit more to another side of my health that I can dive into.
Yeah. Katie, this has been an incredible conversation. If people want to check you out online, if they want to try out your podcast, your journaling prompts, your meditations, where can everybody go and find you?
Yeah, well, the podcast is the Soul Connection Podcast. It is guided meditations and journaling prompts. Those come out every single Monday. And then on Fridays on YouTube, you can just go to Katie Arnold Yoga on YouTube. There are asana yoga practices. So you can do those. And then I'm everywhere on social media at I am Katie Arnold. Hopefully easy to find.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will make sure everything is linked in the show notes so people can go right there and check you out. Thank you so much for this conversation. I know it's been a long time coming.
Yeah. This was so much fun. Thank you for having me.
If you love this podcast episode, spread the love by sharing this with your friends and family, share it out on social media, and don't forget to give it a 5-star rating and review. From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that you are here. Until next time.